Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Duluth Rundown, a podcast focused on the local Twin Ports running scene. My name is Tony Stensland with Tony Stensland Coaching.
And I am Mike Ward with Duluth Timing and Events.
All right, quick thank you before we get started to our sponsor of this episode, Austin Jarrow, Duluth's original running store. That's the place to get your running shoes. Great advice from all the people that work up there. Check out their website, austin-jarrow.com. They are also on Facebook and Instagram. Drive on up to their location on Central Entrance, just on the other side of where the Home Depot is, but on the other side of the road. Or give them a call, 218-722-1185. Thanks so much to Austin Jarrow. All right, welcome everyone to episode number 51 of the Duluth Rundown podcast. Good to have everybody back. I'm Tony Stensland, joined here with my co-host. I think I once said sidekick, and then I instantly felt really bad about saying that because that's kind of that's not right. Like, co-host is far better.
Close enough.
My co-host, Mike Ward. Mike, how you doing?
Really good. Happy to be here. Welcome back, everyone.
Yeah. Good to be back. Feels like it's been a little while since we did our last one. We've got a lot to talk about. It's that busy time of the year in the racing world and the running world here in Duluth. So let's get at it.
Yeah, a lot of race results, which is super cool to see. I mean, through COVID, we had almost no race results, and they've been steadily growing. Mm-hmm. Historically, July has always been the, I think, most or the busiest month for races, and that is the case here. So first, to look over some previous results, let's start with Grandma's, Tony. I'll just quick highlight some of the winners. Dominic Onduro won the marathon with a 209.34, the only sub 210, so that's cool. Dominic has won the race I don't know how many times, and he is the record holder.
He's the course. He almost got his course record again.
He almost got it again on a pretty prime day, I would think. And then Dakota Lindworm, who is a Minnesota runner, won the race back-to-back. Champion Dakota with a 225.01.
Yeah,
so great job to Dakota on that. And Dominic,
it was impressive. What a great day. The weather, you have that little tailwind and cool cool temps.
The clouds came in, I think, at a good time for the marathoners a little bit. In the half marathon, Daniel Kemoy wins 102.03, speedy fast. And on the gal side, Rosie Edwards, 112.45. And these are not local Duluth runners. Dakota, I think, by far is the closest, I would think, as a Minnesota distance elite runner, I think. Most of these athletes are pro, you know, coming around from all over the place. I'm seeing a lot of Scottsdale, Arizona on the on the city state here.
They live down there and train and
And that's interesting to see as we move to the William A. Irvin 5K results as well. Jesse Chettle wins the race, City Flagstaff, Arizona, with a smoking fast time, 15:42. Usually it's a local who wins the Irvin. And Nikki Long from Cary, North Carolina, won the women's race in 16:15. A little bit more spread out on the gal side, up top there.
Yeah, some really fast times in that race this year. It was pretty impressive to see.
And we could probably spend several hours shouting out everyone else's times locally. So we're not going to do that.
but talk about your race. You ran the half. You ran really well.
Yeah. I had a good race. That was probably one of my better half marathons in terms of pacing, because I tend to go out pretty non-conservatively and just try to hold on. And I guess the same thing happened this time, but pretty even splits. The race itself went well in terms of no emergency stops or major issues of any type. The race went well. I think it was my second fastest half.
That's good. That's really good.
That's good.
Yeah.
I think the pace was right where I expected, given my training. But it's a little bit of a stinger. I didn't quite get my goal time, which was a personal best, which, you know, I've never been older
right,
than I was at that time.
Yeah.
You know, racing a half. So I can't have many complaints that way, but yeah, it helped to have just a prime day.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, when you have a goal and you don't think you're going to hit it, and then you go out there and that's confirmed, but the goal is still out there, and I think I'm more motivated to start fresh next year.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not uncommon for me. I've been doing this for a long, long time at the grandma's half. There's some about it at the Gary Bjorklund,
yeah,
where it's like, if I can't hit my goal, I'm going back. And back in the day, it was a 120. I wanted to hit that so bad.
Mm-hmm.
It took me maybe probably like 6 years.
Okay.
It wasn't year after year, but one, eventually, I think I can do it. Next yeah. year, didn't, not even close. Next year, much closer. And then a couple of years later, I finally got it, you know.
Once you got that, did it, then you kind of always hit it for a while? I mean, is
well,
that...
I smashed it, really, I think.
Yeah, okay.
I was at a different echelon of running, whereas yeah. 120 is, you know.
Wasn't a big deal at that point.
Wasn't a big deal.
You knew you were going to do it based
yeah.
on other stuff.
I think
yeah.
I had done a faster split at the marathon, you know.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah.
Well, 120 is no big deal.
Yeah.
But then now, you know, going for a right under 116, mm-hmm. I mean, that's speedy, and I don't know if I'll ever hit it again, but I'm motivated to go back and try, and
yeah.
it's fun to have a pretty good time under my belt, though.
Yeah, good, good.
Yeah,
perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, how was your day at Grandma's? Spectating?
Spectating is a lot of fun, actually.
And yeah.
Yeah, I had a great time. I had absolutely a great time, and again, the weather... It was one of those rare days where the weather's good for runners and spectators. Maybe just a teeny bit too sunny, if I were to complain about anything, for the half marathoners.
Right.
Maybe, just because there's not a lot of shade on the course.
Yeah.
And I don't know, to me, sun can kind of beat down on you a little bit
yeah.
over that amount of time. But the temperatures were great, and the tailwind was really nice.
Yeah.
So, yeah, can't ask for much better.
Yeah. I got a big shout-out for my brother. It was fun to watch him. Once I finished the half, which that's kind of the fun part, you know, it's brutal waking up so early, but you get to see, I mean, pretty much the whole marathon.
Yeah.
If you, I don't know, are sub two, essentially. But my bro, Andrew, was thinking that he could do under 3:30, mm-hmm. which would have been a stout personal best for him at the marathon. And he did a 3:23.
Wow.
And he really kicked it into gear the last phases of the race for a strong negative split.
Wow.
So it was really fun to
see
him.
How many marathons has he done?
I want to say that was maybe five.
Okay, so he's experienced.
He's done enough.
Yeah. Because it sounds to me like, obviously he was well trained, but then he ran it really, really well.
Definitely. Yeah.
Cool. Good for him.
So that was really fun to
see.
That's
worth a shout out for sure. That's impressive.
Yeah. And he was smiling the whole rest of the day, so
yeah.
it's fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah. We got even a few other race results to talk about the week. Unless you have anything on Grandma's that we missed.
I was going to maybe save it for the shout-outs, but I'll just shout out to all of my athletes who ran Grandma's, both the half and the full, and both yeah. my individual athletes and my training group folks. Really so much fun to see everybody. We had a lot of successes. Big success in the marathon from Tiff, and she went under three, so
mm-hmm.
hit that PR, and it was a great day.
Yeah I think a lot of past interview subjects were running.
Mm-hmm.
Duluth Rundown,
a lot
interviewed.
Of people listening right now probably
listening
were
right
running
now.
yeah
so it's so fun that it just brings everyone out. I mean, it's such a common thread in the Duluth running world to participate in that weekend, and
yeah,
it's awesome. Yep. So the Midnight Run, a couple days, 6 days maybe after Grandma's. This was on the 24th of June here. Oliver Miatki, 17 years old, out of Duluth, wins it 15:41, smoking time. I know it's a fast course right on the lake walk, but nice work there, Oliver. Allegra Pelagi, 22, from Duluth, won it on the gal side with an 18:52. It's always a fun race. At midnight sharp. The next race we had is the Dragon Tail 5-miler. That's in Lake Nebagamon, Wisconsin. So not quite here in Duluth, but a lot of local runners come out. That was July 2nd. Ethan Vargas from Hudson, Wisconsin, won with a 29:12. For the 5 miler, that's a 5:51 pace, so nice work, Ethan. And then on the gals side, Jenna Hirsch, 17 years old, 35:43 on the 5 mile time. So young kids taking the win over at Dragontail. Next we have the local 4th of July Classic, Sawdust 5K. The winner of that, Jake Mertz, 17:25, 18-year-old from Cloquet. Right after Jake, well, I guess about 20 seconds or so, was David Hypinen, who okay. we've featured and shouted out on our podcast many times. So honorable mention, second place with a 17:48. Nice work, Dave. And then Amber Kantanen, 46 years old from Barnum, took it on the gal side with a 22:29. Nice work, Amber. And then that's about all the race results we have, although we have a ton of upcoming races. So starting just this week, this is kind of the week of strange race times. We have Wednesday at noon race, July 13th. This is just this Wednesday here, which is a really fun event, though, the YMCA Sidewalk Shuffle. A lot of corporate teams for that event, but I think any individual can go and mm-hmm. still sign up. Right here downtown Duluth. It's part of the Sidewalk Days, Sidewalk Shuffle, so that's coming up. That's the 14th annual. Kind of cool.
Yeah, impressive. That's good. Good job.
It doesn't really hold a candle to, I believe, the 51st annual Park Point 5-miler, which is our next kind of strange race time. This is a Thursday night race down on Park Point here in Duluth, 6:30 p.m. That's part of Grandma's Marathon, the Young Athletes Foundation. I believe registration still open for that.
Maybe. A very few spots left. I saw, I got an email, maybe a couple hundred.
Might want to check on that, because I know they've been having record numbers.
Yeah.
Really fun
and
race.
And that one, because it's on the Grand Prix circuit this year for Minnesota, there's going to be a lot of folks signing up that maybe wouldn't normally come up for that race.
Okay, so, Twin Cities folks.
Yeah. Yep.
Very good. That's a fun one. Pancake Flat course. This weekend, so this is Saturday, the 16th of July at 6 a.m., kicks off the Eugene Curnow Trail Marathon, which is a really fun event put on by the Northern Minnesota Track Club. And, essentially the Half Voyager course. So,
The race great, to the turnaround.
Race to the turnaround. Yeah, great local trail run. Also on the same day, and we don't have a ton of data on this one, but the 5K Run for Mental Health here in Duluth. I believe that's 5K on Saturday morning as well here in Kichido Odea King, which is downtown Duluth Canal Park area.
Used to be called Lake Place Park.
The next day, Sunday, July 17th, we have the River Run 5K. Which is 10 a.m. in Pattison State Park in Wisconsin, nearby Duluth, though. We have the Chief France Red Run on July 23rd, and I believe that is a Saturday. Pretty sure it's a Saturday, not 9 a.m. That's in Duluth as well, kind of outside of town. The Voyager Trail Ultramarathon, 50-mile distance. Also put on by the Northern Minnesota Track Club, NMTC. That's Saturday, July 30th, 6 a.m. And then finally, we'll mention an August race, just because it's early August. That would be the Kristen Burkholder 5K, August 6th, and that's in Esco. Honorable mention as well, the Buzz Ryan Sprint Triathlon, which is... I don't know what date. Maybe the
17th, I think.
A Sunday race.
Sunday,
so.
Yep.
A lot of races to choose from, whether it be a road 5K, trail, ultra marathon, or a triathlon. So lots to choose from, and excellent upcoming races. Next on, Trails Report. What trails have you been running lately, Tony?
So not a lot, just mostly Hartley. I do Old Hartley Road quite a bit, but I was also on Guardrail loop last week and did a loop through there. And the trails themselves, like the surface is great. Everything was really, really solid. When the day I was there, it was starting to be a little overgrown. You know, they just mm-hmm. hadn't gone through and trimmed anything just yet. So there's that. Was to me, I don't always enjoy that when the leaves are kind of brushing at your legs and things as you run by or at your face, and the bugs get a little more aggressive. There's more bugs out there. Yeah. So sometimes for me, July and August trail running is not always the most enjoyable thing.
Optimal.
And because when the trees are fully leaved, wind doesn't get in there, and it's hot, and it just kind of
muggy.
Just hangs. That air just seems so heavy through there sometimes.
Yeah.
That being said, still it was a great run. It just wasn't as ideal as sometimes for my personal taste it can be.
Like a nice fall run or something.
Like fall, even the winter. I actually, the winter's cool when you can kind of see the whole park. There's just so many great aspects about trail running in different times of the season, and this is probably, to be honest, with my least favorite time of the season. To be honest,
the depths of the summer.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I know people who they just don't go on the trails in the summer just because of that reason.
Is that right?
The bugs and the itchy plants and...
Yeah, and the heat and everything. I can see that. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I've had a different experience on trails in Chester,
mm-hmm.
which Dan Proctor tirelessly weed whips.
Yeah.
And so it's been pretty prime in there, but... you know, it gets busy in Chester and people swimming and, but I've been through there a few times and trails are in great shape. So if you're sick of the leaves specifically,
try Chester.
You can see some fresh chopped almost any given day because Dan and his, battery powered weed whip is amazing.
Does
amazing work.
Dan is the man at Chester.
I was outside of Duluth, off Jean Duluth Road on the SHT. Near the Big Bend campsite on the Superior Hiking Trail, and that was really overgrown.
Was it?
Yeah. I mean, it was partially on the snowmobile trail.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's about as brutal as you can get when it comes down to it. If you're looking for just a kind of a masochistic, not fun run,
right?
Go out on some snowmobile trail right now.
Bring your machete.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Only saw one tick, though.
Oh, nice.
Also, one thing I've never seen on the trail, like the physical on the trail tread before, was a porcupine.
Oh, cool.
Large.
Yeah.
Running towards me. I screamed like a little girl.
You were the porcupine screamed.
I screamed. Yeah. The porcupine flexed his quills. That's probably what prompted my scream. But then it turned around and it scurried off. But I've only seen porcupines in trees.
Like a tree or something.
And this one was like walking and kind of scuttled away. And it was... funny.
Fun. That's awesome.
Yeah. So that's the other side. There's a lot of wildlife, including but not limited to mosquitoes, bugs, and ticks. But there's also a lot of other wildlife in these kind of heat of the summer.
That's very true.
So silver lining, I guess.
One thing is, while we're on the trails reports, and I noticed at Hartley has some new signage there, which is great. And they're really, really nice. The trail markings and things. However, there's one sign where there's a little "You Are Here" thing on the sign, and that "You Are Here" is in the wrong spot. So on Old Hartley Road, if you're coming from the east side of Hartley and you're going to turn left onto Root Canal, there's a sign right at that T there that says "You Are Here," but the sticker for "You Are Here" is pointing where the SHT comes out onto Old Hartley Road, just a little farther up the trail. Not super confusing for anybody who knows, but anybody who's not familiar with it, they're going to see that and they're going to think they're turned around a little bit or facing, they're going to be confused for sure because it's just simply not in the right spot.
Yeah.
So that, I don't know if anybody listens who does that or who to contact, but I just noticed that was in the wrong place.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Something to note anyways. Next on for the rundown section here, we got the Coach's Corner. Tony, what do you got for our listeners this session?
Well, so one thing that I've been thinking about a little bit is, and I've thought about it quite a bit, is with your running and your training, about the idea of being process driven or results driven. Like, who are you? What are you? Is it all about finish times and goals, or is it all about kind of that, the process of growth and development kind of approach? And what, find out, you know, about yourself, what works well. I tend to be more of a process driven runner, if I count my running as anything to work towards, but it is. And that gives me more enjoyment, and then the results just sort of come off of that. And overall, I sort of recommend being that way. I think sometimes if you get a little too results driven, that can set you up for some disappointment at times, and you forget to see that if you know you didn't hit your goal time, you think it's a failure, but chances are there was a lot of growth in there and development that occurred, and you maybe aren't able to see it if you're too focused on the goal times. And I think sometimes maybe runners get a little too focused on that goal time.
Yeah. So I think I fit into that category myself.
Yeah.
For sure.
As results driven. Yeah. Results driven.
Maybe too results driven.
So they're both important. Not to say don't be results driven at
balance.
All. But it's a little bit of a balance, and it's also about trying to find a positive aspect regardless of what happens.
Right.
And it's awesome when we hit goals, but even when we hit goals, there's still other good things that might have occurred. Maybe achieving the goal isn't actually the greatest thing that occurred. Maybe it was the fact that you trained consistently and didn't get injured. Maybe that when you think about it, was what you can be most proud of.
Right. Right.
So think about that a little bit as you're there with your running. Are you going to focus on your process?
Right.
Are you going to focus really on the results? And I would suggest giving process a try, you know?
A try. Huh?
Yeah.
So, I mean, if someone like maybe myself, I feel like the joy in running or the why, the reason is more the result, the end.
Mm-hmm.
So, if I feel like that's in my innate nature of what draws me to running, how can I just shift it to process based?
So, great question. And you ask any master's runner, they're going to have a lot of experience with that because they simply don't run as fast as they used to.
Yeah.
And everybody goes through that, and it can be a hard thing to accept. But if you're process driven, it's actually the exact same thing.
Sure.
If you're 50 years old or 25 years old, it's the same thing.
Right.
You're trying to improve and do the best that you can do where you are at that given time.
Right.
And so then the joy that you get out of it is actually the same.
Yeah.
But if you're going to be results driven and you're going to just compare times, you're never going to be happy because you won't run as fast as you used to.
Right.
So to me, that's a good thing. And we've talked about this in the past, before about acceptance, accepting where you are. And there's that freedom in accepting that, hey, I'm not as fast, but it doesn't mean I can't try.
Right.
Once for me personally, once I was able to do that, oh my God, my running was, it was like being new again.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think the bottom line is that the beauty in it is that there is both aspects. And so at least for me personally, right, I have a goal that comes kind of first.
Yeah.
What will it take, do I think, to get me to that goal?
Yeah.
This whole plan. And then if you can execute that plan and get to the starting line and say, wow, I executed that plan. I mean, that's like the first awakening, or what did you say? I don't know.
Acceptance.
Yeah. Acceptance. Yeah. That's first, like, awesome. And then if you beat your goal, that's like, the cherry on the top, essentially, or just the secondary.
Here's another thing that, if you are results driven and then you're just getting slower due to age or whatever, age grade calculators are really nice. So, because it's kind of a way to somewhat compare yourself to your former self.
Right.
I actually ran age graded. When I ran Madeline Island Half, I age graded. I PR'd.
Sure.
Did I PR? Well, no, but age graded, I actually did a little bit. And that's kind of a nice little results takeaway, I guess.
Right.
From the whole thing. But either way, I still walked away happy because I prepared really well, and I executed the race the way I wanted to run.
Right.
So the time aspect, like you said, was sort of the cherry on top.
Right. I think for everyone, that result, whether it be to win or to do the best you can or to put together a good race, that has to change. Like, you can't expect to win.
Yeah. Yeah.
For instance, and kind of the top level of the result, is to win. I think most people would agree, but you can't always have that.
Right. Exactly.
Unless you cherry pick your races,
Right. Sandbag. Easy races.
Yeah. Interesting thing to think of, and another way to find value and gratification, maybe
find some joy in your running.
Joy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Next, what you been into lately, Tony?
So I've been really into golf. We've talked a little bit in the past about doing some speed golfing, and I've enjoyed the sport of golf for quite a while, but I've really gotten into it this summer. It's kind of taken away from my running in terms of my daily attention and my, you know, just kind of what I do in my free time. I like to, you know, if I'm running a lot, I'm focused in on running. I'm always thinking about running. I'm reading about it. I'm looking at my plan. I'm whatever. Yeah. But right now it's golf has kind of gotten my free time attention.
The minutes.
Yeah, exactly. And like a lot of things, it's a really challenging sport, but I love that, the minutia of it, and I love the practice, try to get better aspect.
Sure.
And running, of course, provides that too, because the more you train, the better you get, and that's fun. We just talked about process and that grind, but there's a big process in golf, and it's a whole new world, so there's anytime you kind of get engaged in some new activity, there's a whole new world to learn, and golf is a world in and of itself. Biking is a whole world, photography is an entire world, and all these things. And so now I'm into golf.
Right. Yeah. I think too, at least this is for me, where, you know, you're running and you're trying really hard, you know, and you can make these incremental gains. Like I'm like a fraction of 1% better after all those months.
Yeah.
You know, you step to something new, and especially if you haven't done it for a while and you have a little bit of that muscle memory or experience, whatever, well, you get better faster. Yeah. And that's almost like more fun
big
for a little bit.
Right away.
Big gains.
Yeah.
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 It's like, geez, why am I busting my butt trying to shave like a quarter second off?
Right. Yeah, exactly. So it's been a lot of fun this summer. Hopefully I can just continue to build on that.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah. That's, how about you? What have you been into?
It's funny that you say golf, because I've been into golf as well, but nice. Disc golf.
Oh, disc I was going to say we'll have to go play around.
I know. Well, we can go play around.
Yeah.
We like flip a coin. And
right. Like a golf double. Disc golf and then just normal golf. And combined scores and see who
wins. I am so bad at normal golf. Disc golf, I can hold my own, but what I've had fun is... I just talked about running through Chester, and I think the dogs like it. I like it. I'm not training. I don't really care, but it's so fun to just jog to the UMD.
Uh-huh.
It's almost like the pitch and putt there. You know, it's such a short, easy course.
Okay.
And kind of just do a speed golf. Yeah. Probably look like the biggest weirdo with the dogs, and we run from hole to hole. I'm not even timing myself or like even keeping track of the of the holes, really. We just play, and it's just it's a little something different, and it's fun. So
have you been over to that one in Superior where the archery range used to be?
Yeah
That looks cool.
Yeah, it is. And maybe for golf too, but in for disc golf there are a wide range of courses just right in Duluth. It's really cool. There's probably six. The kind of premiere is Mont du Lac, where they have like 50 plus holes. I mean, it's insane.
Wow, I had no idea.
Yeah. And they're really cool courses, really well maintained. Huh. So that's, but you have to kind of set aside a whole day and but or there's UMD, like the local pitch and putt, you know, which is really accessible and right in town. And so it's fun.
You just mentioned like the set aside the whole day, and that's the one to me, the one downside of golf. It just takes a long time.
Yeah.
It's if you go play for me, if I play well and play fast, and that's by myself with a cart, 18 holes is 3 hours, and that's playing kind of quick. If I were better, it'd be shorter.
Right.
So honestly, what I've done a lot is just go to the driving range a lot more than I've actually played around, trying to get my swing down. But the time commitment, it's sort of like trying to biking. You got to go out and you got to ride for like 4, 5, 6 hours.
Right.
You know,
still scratches that itch though. Huh?
Yeah, still scratches that itch.
Yeah. I think last thing we got here is a shout out. Just I wanted to do a little shout out to the Duluth Foot Trails Alliance, DUFTA. We have talked about this a little bit in the past, like with our interview a couple months ago with Jesse Schoenberg. Just noticed, and I saw a sign in Chester for DUFTA, and it reminded me that, sheesh, I have to do my membership form. And just want to let everyone know, all our listeners, kind of a reminder, the Duluth Foot Trails Alliance is a local nonprofit here in Duluth that represents foot trail users, and kind of just getting off the ground. So I know that, you know, your membership support is going to go a long way to kind of form, you know, the base of what this nonprofit's all about. I have to do my membership form. I'm going to just go ahead and do it today. And I recommend everyone out there, it's $10 a year. Put your name in the hat, get involved. Yeah, so that membership form is available on, I found it off their Facebook page, Duluth Foot Trails Alliance, DUFTA, D-U-F-T-A. So,
yeah, I'll be signing up as well. I'm literally on their Facebook page right now, and
Google form.
Venmo, yeah. PayPal, $10 a year.
Easy.
Yep, that will be done for sure. I'll do that today.
I think that's about it. Anything else?
No, but thanks to you, Mike, for your work on this. Thanks to all our listeners for you guys listening to us. Thanks to all the locals who kind of support us, Austin Jaro and the folks up there. And you know, we'll see you guys out there. See you hopefully at what park? Are you running Park Point, Mike?
No,
I'm running Park Point.
Cool.
It's not going to be pretty at all. We'll go do it and have a good time.
Yeah.
We'll see a lot of folks at Park Point, and we'll see a lot of folks at Voyager and Kurnow and everything coming up.
Other races. So, yeah.